under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Listen in Jacksonville at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
And we're on.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you at the very top of the hour, the telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Lest I forget it, I usually do, but I'd like to have you call in, join in the dialogue and discussion today. We're talking about lawlessness and moral rot. Lawlessness and moral rot. Can a nation survive under those circumstances? Where do we stand as a nation today? Is it possible that if we continue the journey that we're on today with the moral, ethical, and spiritual decline, that we will survive as a nation? Can a nation survive outside of recognizing God? Better put, if a nation rejects God, turns their back on God, rejects morals and ethics and values of God's Word, can that nation survive? That's the question that we're dealing with today. Ladies and gentlemen, have you considered what happened to any nation? What will take place to any nation? How a nation will survive if there's a decline in the morals and yet there is a devolving into moral, ethical lawlessness, rot, and decay from within? We're going to talk about that today. But ladies and gentlemen, as we do, I want you to understand we deal with the issues each and every day based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. I don't know if you've heard that term lately. By the way, did you realize that in some states now, one at least, I believe it's Louisiana, that's passed a law requiring the Ten Commandments to be posted in the classroom? Did you know that in the state of Florida that back in 2018 a law was passed requiring In God We Trust to be prominently displayed in every school in the state of Florida, which that law is now being ignored, and basically the political educational leadership saying we're not going to adhere to the law. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just a part of the pieces of the puzzle that we see today with the moral ethical decline, the moral ethical erosion, the rot that is taking place in society. And as we look at something like this today, we do so based on the Word of God. John 8:31-32, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Scripture says, thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, truth matters. Regardless of what you think or say or do, truth matters. And yet, I go back to the secularist George Orwell in his dystopian novel. By the way, it was titled 1984, published in the late 40s. Most do not realize that. But in the dystopian novel entitled 1984, Orwell made this statement. the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find today that to be very, very factual. True, if I could use the term. True today. You can get into any circle that you like, political, social, economic, militarily, spiritually, morally, ethically, and join in a dialogue and discussion with a group of others. And if you stand for truth and you speak truth, multitudes will reject and be, quote, offended by your position on that. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to go back to truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Headline says, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, DeMint makes this statement. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are founded on the Western concept for the civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. So, ladies and gentlemen, is there such a thing as absolute truth? The millennials in America, 18 to a 35-year-old age group, say no. Headline, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. In fact, 55% of the millennials say each person determines his or her own version of truth. That's an impossibility. Truth is truth. And if you bifurcate truth, you've got a whole lie. A half-truth is a whole lie, any place you find it. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That is my prescription that I say each and every day on this broadcast. Look for the truth, seek it, love it, tell it, live it, stand for truth, defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a benchmark and identifier, 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flies the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Lawlessness and moral rot in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to look no further in history than just simply look back at what took place with the empire called the Roman Empire. Ladies and gentlemen, some have forgotten that the Roman Empire simply imploded from within. They were looking for more and more fun, more and more pleasure, less and less productive work, and living lives of pure licentiousness, moral rot. What happened to Rome? No outside forces took over. It literally imploded from within. So could this happen to America? Could America implode? Listen, I've had people ask me down through the years, is America found in the prophetic text? Where do you find America in the last of the last days of this old globe? You don't find it. So the question is, what happens to America? Where do we go? What takes place? Does God judge America? And is America totally wiped out and destroyed based on God's judgment? And if so, could it be possible that it's because of lawlessness and moral, ethical, spiritual rot in America? And I believe that is possible. We're witnessing today a moral, ethical decline. We're declining today, ladies and gentlemen. Every day that the Biden-Harris administration is in power, every day that we witness what they are planning on doing. For example, Joe Biden has just announced that he's planning on doing something to the Supreme Court. Headline, the Biden White House releases details of the reform of the Supreme Court. The Biden White House on Monday released details of President Biden's proposal for changes to the Supreme Court, including term limits for justices. Biden suggested such a plan in the Oval Office address calling on Congress to establish term limits and ethic codes for court's nine justices. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's some good news to that idiotic statement of Biden's. You know the good news? He can't do it. It's simply a ploy for votes for the Biden-Harris team right now for the cackling Kamala Harris run for office. It's an impossibility. You have to have a change to the Constitution. There must be a constitutional amendment. And when the constitutional amendment is passed, then it must be ratified by three-quarters of the states in the United States of America before that can be done. You can't tamper with the Supreme Court. You can't put limitations on it. You can't expand the number. We're looking at what is found in the U.S. Constitution, and yet Biden is lawless enough to think that he can do it. He has gotten away with almost four years, of lawlessness and moral decline, moral degradation based on executive orders and his goal of absolutely putrefying, destroying the morals, ethics, and values in the United States of America. So the question is, with lawlessness and moral rot, can we sustain ourselves as a nation? I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
Doing great. I've got Dr. Phelps with me also today. Had not had a chance in the monologue to get to introducing him, but we're delighted to have him with us. So, Jim, thank you for your call.
Thank you. The entire Old Testament is a historical document in reference to governments, rulers, and judges making poor, bad, sinful decisions and the consequences of those decisions upon their nations. Anybody that says that there's no absolute truth is buying into a lie to justify the hole that's missing within their heart or within their soul that can only be filled by our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to ask your opinion of that opening ceremony where these individuals portrayed the Last Supper. My personal opinion is that was the most blasphemous thing I have ever seen done publicly. It was just disgusting to me.
Totally disgusting. And Jim, I'm glad you mentioned that because that's part of what I had planned on stating and talking about. Looking at the headline, Olympics blasphemy. Summer Games mock the Lord's Last Supper with return to their bloody pagan origins. The article reads in part, it's a three-page article. I'll just cover the first two brief paragraphs. The Olympic Games in Paris appears to be on an agenda to return the Games' original pagan roots, where bloody ceremonies highlighted the days and allegiances were sworn to various pagan gods that feature blasphemous portrayals of the Last Supper, featuring an obese woman and drag queens, a blue Smurf type character, and a decapitated head singing no less. So, Jim, what this does, in my opinion, it emphasizes what I'm talking about today. It highlights the fact that from a standpoint of what was viewed as being global entertainment, that was what they chose to entertain. You go back to the days of the Roman arenas. They would have nudity, they would have open death and destruction, beheadings, et cetera, as, quote, entertainment for the ones in the stands applauding as the lions would eat the Christians even. So you're exactly right. It's a good indicator of where we are as a globe, and more where we are as a nation with the United States of America, because I am concerned when we see something very similar to this with the same disdainful attitude, where nude men and women march down the streets riding bicycles or walking in total nudity in what is called the gay parades, the drag parades, with moms, dads, kids, even kids in strollers up and down the streets applauding and watching that as entertainment. That's the moral dregs that I see taking place in America. So, Jim, the question is, can America sustain itself? Can we be sustained if we see this continual degradation and decline morally, ethically in our nation, and where there's rot taking place from the roots of our nation? What are your thoughts?
No, sir, they can't. I believe that in my heart. The Bible and God's Word and Jesus tells me the same. I've got one more question in relation to one of the characters that was in this ceremony or this display and Revelations there. If you notice, the center character was wearing that headdress that had the points coming out at all points, kind of like the Statue of Liberty. Isn't that the Babylonian god Ishtar or some? I can't remember that. Did I get that right? Is it Ishtar?
Ishtar, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and those and references in Revelation, could you expound upon that for me, please, sir?
Which chapter now?
It's talking about, there's a lot. There's one particular chapter, I think it's 13, where they actually mention the queen that sits upon the beast, and they're talking about her headdress.
Well, that's chapter 12. And in that text, in chapter 12, literally it's the woman riding on the beast, is when you read the whole chapter, you understand that is the amalgamation of all of the pagan pieces left over, if you will, of all the amalgamation of the churches after the rapture of the church has taken place. And you see that amalgamation, I call it Islam, Roman Catholicism, because you see in the balance of the text in Revelation chapter 12, beginning with about verse 13, 14, 15, it talks about the city on seven hills, and that's referring to Rome. So it's dealing with the fact that in the last days of the tribulation, you'll find the, the prostitute, it's called the Great Whore, church, will be supported by the government, and it will be ruling out of Rome. So we see the revival of the old Roman Empire with the prostitute, the Great Whore church. That is what's spoken of in Revelation chapter 12, very, very clearly. Revelation chapter 17, that is. And Revelation chapter 12 is talking about the individual is speaking of Jerusalem, speaking of the place, the birth of Jesus. That's chapter 12. Chapter 17 was the one I was referring to earlier.
Okay. Well, I was just under the, I was trying to correlate an actual historical figure as far as the Babylonian God and how the Babylonians incorporated all of the known world into their empire, and that Ishtar was a representation of that. And I just didn't know if it was a clear correlation within Revelation linking both of those events together for humanity's future. But
let me toss that to Dr. Phelps for a minute. Dr. Phelps, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with Daniel, what he just said. It seems like that everything is going to be centered around Roman things having to do with the Roman, revived Roman Empire in the end time.
Yes, absolutely. Jim? Okay. All we can do is, we need to pray, we need to look up, realize that God's in charge. If I didn't believe God's still on the throne, that God's still in charge, I wouldn't want to get up of a morning. But because I believe that, I have all the faith and the trust in Him that what He is doing is working His plan for our good and His glory in the end result. But in the interim, what we're witnessing today is the degradation, the decline, and the destruction of our nation at the hands of this present administration. So this is the reason, if I can post this little tidbit in before I let you go, this is the reason as Christians we need to be salt and light. We need to take a stand for morals and ethics and values, and we need to take a stand against the globalization and the non-ethical, the lack of ethics, values, and morals that's being fostered upon us as a nation, where you find the transgenderism movement that's being pushed by the Biden-Harris administration, where you find the LGBTQI plus agenda, or where you find the barbaric butchering of our youth today on the guise and thoughts that it's supposed to be a healthy, how would you say, program to be carried out, etc., etc. I see it getting darker and darker each and every day, but the darker it gets, the closer we are of seeing the church raptured out. So we need to be thankful each and every day that God is still on the throne. Jim, thank you so much for your call. God bless you,
and
keep looking up. I believe we have another call on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
Yes, I'm glad to hear Dr. Phelps is with you, because when you two are together, to me, that's the two witnesses. That's about as powerful as the gospel gets with you two.
Well, I am thankful that Dr. Phelps is with me, and I'm thankful for his insight and wisdom in the Word. Thankful for what the Lord says to us through His Word, that we can communicate the truth by way of this broadcast each and every day.
Yes. Dr. Youngblood, your question about can America survive, there's not a universe can survive with the debauchery that's going on. And I'd like to ask both of you, in that debauchery that went on in Paris at the Olympics, why didn't they pick Allah to protest about? What would have happened if they'd have picked Allah?
I think you've got the answer to that question, Tom, but I would just simply postulate a thought. If they had chosen Allah or Muhammad, let's just say Muhammad, if they'd chosen Muhammad, you remember back a number of years ago, back in the early 90s, where an individual drew a caricature of Muhammad, made fun of him, and he was being chased and sought after across the globe to slaughter him simply because he had drawn a caricature that was not what the Islamics believed were right for Muhammad. So the bottom line is, answering your question, had they done that right now, there'd be no Olympics. It would already been shut down, because there'd been enough of the Islamic jihadists that would gotten on the warpath with swords and shields and attempt to destroy anything that's against Allah, and it would have been all over. But you touched on something that is very, very important for our listeners to understand. Christianity is the only, if we could call it religion, it's not a religion, it's Christianity, but for the sake of communication, if they could, the world, the globe, and the nation, the political leaders, etc., can demean, can debauch, can decry, can say anything they want to about Christianity, but there's no other religion, especially Islam, that they will touch on and say anything about it as they do about Christianity, because they know, or they feel that they believe, they know, that somehow, some way, Christians will be silent, will sit in silence, will not say anything, and not do anything. And the water's been tested too many times that they're exactly right. Just like in the past few years, where there was a forced closure of churches across the nation on the pretense of a plandemic that we had to close the churches. What did most pastors do? They shut the churches down. There was the demand to wear masks. What did most Christians do? They got lined up and said, we'll wear the mask. And so the bottom line is, Tom, we're witnessing America having already been tested, having already been tried, having already failed the test, and now we're on the very verge of witnessing what I believe going to be some historic moments that we've never seen before in the United States of America. And it's because of the lawlessness out of the White House. And by the way, Matthew chapter 24, verse 9 and following talks about iniquity shall prevail, and it's iniquity can be better translated lawlessness. And this administration is the most lawless administration in the history of America. So how can we survive? What are your thoughts?
Well, we know the end of the book. And Dr. Youngblood, at almost 78 years old, I'm embarrassed to say, but in the last year or two, I've learned that when you become a Christian, you're a new creature, and old things have passed away. And I've learned that
5:17.
That's why I call you and Dr. Phelps the two witnesses. Maybe I should call it the Encyclopedia of the Bible, but call you all that. But I've also learned that what you do is you lay down violence, that God and his wrath does your fighting. You don't have to fight for him. He does that. And, you know, you can shoot somebody, but God can make their spouse get cancer. He can take away a grandchild. He can do things that you can't even begin to believe. But
well, you know, Tom, when you go back to the book of Nehemiah, and they were trying to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, it took them, it was 49,952 workers, and in 52 days they rebuilt the wall. But they faced the enemy. They faced a desire by the enemy to come in and destroy. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 20, Nehemiah reminded his workers, "Our God shall fight for you." And that's what every Christian needs to understand today. That doesn't mean we're to sit in silence. That means we're to be not to be salt and light, but be salt and light and realize that the battle is his, that our God shall fight for us. And I pray that every listener today will understand that the battle is a demonic battle being waged in and through humanity. And we find the demonic source today being, how would you say, promulgated, pushed, and vivified in the life of Biden-Harris administration. And I don't mind saying that publicly. The Biden-Harris administration, I believe, the most demonically controlled, the most demon-like, demoralization, demoraling our morals and ethics and values in America than any other presidential administration. So, Tom, we need to keep looking up. Thank you so much for your call today. God bless you as we continue to pray and ask God to divinely intervene. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I have Dr. Neil Phelps with me today. Dr. Phelps is one of the theology professors in Conservative Theological University, teaching Bible and theology. He'll be teaching the poetic books of the Old Testament this fall, starting in September, for the fall semester in Conservative Theological University. We're looking forward to it. Dr. Phelps, you've heard the basic thoughts that we're talking about today. Do we have any, and Jim referred to earlier about the Old Testament and cases, do we have any examples in the Old Testament or in the Scripture, any place, where kings or leaders, God removed them or judged them because of the way they ruined a nation morally, ethically, and spiritually? Are there any examples of that?
There are several examples in the Old Testament, and I think of the Old Testament as being so valuable in that sense.
Yes.
That we have a great heritage of truth. And the Scriptures tell us some wonderful things about the protection of God. David, for example, in Psalm 56, made a statement that I want to turn to and read regarding our safety and our security as a nation. If God's people would call upon God, excuse me, then I believe that we can have better security in our country. He said, for example, in Psalm 56, verse 9, "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." Wonderful it is to know that God is on our side. God is for us as Christians.
1 minute.
And we can simply call upon God. That word cry in that verse simply refers to a time of prayer when we talk to God about things. And it's used many times in the Bible, meaning that we have a resource. We have God. Amen. To look to. And when we cry to him, then God is able to protect us, preserve us. I believe we need to be praying for America today.
Yes, absolutely.
We need to be calling upon the Lord.
Absolutely.
For only he is our refuge.
That's right. Exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, lawlessness and moral rot in America. Can we continue to be sustained of God if we're doing what we're doing today? What are your thoughts? What are your questions? I'd love to have you right after the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston.